everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program. It is Tuesday. It's the 11th day of April, 2023. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio on the campus of Bustos Media Tucson. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by our friends over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. You can live stream all of our programs at buckmastershow.com. That is also the place for 12 plus years now of content on our website. Today we resume our Every Other Month interview series presented by Pima Community College. Our series introduces our listeners to the dedicated educators and supporters of Pima Community College. Joining us on the live line, Sue Oliver. Sue is the director of the Small Business Development Center at PCC. Hey, Sue, how are you?
Hey there, Bill. Great to be on. What an honor and joy. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much. Give us the kind of, what does SBDC do? What is your big goal, your big mission statement, Sue?
Oh, yeah, it's a mouthful, SBDC, Small Business Development Center. We're all things small business, so that small businesses can launch, grow, and thrive in the region. We serve Pima and Santa Cruz counties, so that's really what we're all about, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about some of the challenges facing small businesses here in town.
Well, I think most people realize, particularly if they have a local small business they've been going to, that the pandemic had a significant impact on especially the retail businesses, restaurant owners, retail shops. And so certainly the challenges in the reopening is a lot of businesses didn't make it. And that's a really sad to say. And those that did had to reevaluate their business models. How do they deliver during a pandemic and after a pandemic? So that's really one of the biggest challenges that we've seen. And then in addition, with everything going on in the economy, the interest rates going up, that a lot of banks, a lot of financing options are becoming much more difficult to obtain. So for small businesses, that's a lifeline. So that's definitely another challenge. And then in the area of workforce development, and that's what our area, Small Business Development Center, we are in Pima Community College's Workforce Development Division, the whole area of hiring and retaining talent, because a lot of employees have changed their minds and making other choices about where they want to spend their time. So that whole area, so many businesses we work with say, hey, I can't find really great folks. And if I do find somebody that's great, somebody else hires them away. So those are the challenges. But in the flip side of challenges, there's always opportunities. And the opportunities are really not only to find more creative, resilient ways of doing business with customers, but also building upon relationships. You know, so in Tucson here, we have got a tremendous network of resources for small businesses, and so the opportunity to build upon existing relationships with providers and collaborating among even other businesses in the same area is a real great opportunity. And oftentimes we just have people, they don't realize all the resources in the community. And then when they do, they're like, oh, we need some help figuring out which ones to select. So that's definitely another opportunity for small businesses at this point.
We're speaking with Sue Oliver. Sue, many people may not even know that your organization is available. If someone is thinking about opening a business, what would be the way that they would go about contacting you and maybe setting up an appointment to talk about maybe an opportunity?
Oh, great question, Bill. Thank you for asking that. So we have a website, and I'll just speak it very slowly. It's azsbdc.net. That's azsbdc.net. They can reach out to that website, and they also can contact us at 206-4580, area code 520, 206-4580. And we offer no-cost business counseling. It's completely confidential. And we like to say we're the most objective group in town, although we love our community partners, because we really need to make sure that when we give referrals or anything else that we're not biased. So we've got a set of counselors here at Pima Community College. We've got three of us here, and we love working with small businesses in the community.
What's the history of the Small Business Development Center at Pima? It's been around a while, hasn't it?
Yes, for decades, actually. It's really fascinating to go back into some of the old files. So we are actually one of 10 SBD centers in the state of Arizona, and we have been here for quite a while, several decades. And we are housed in the Midtown Pima Community College building in the Workforce Development Division. We actually work with a ton of small business clients. For example, in our last fiscal year, we served over 500 clients.
Really?
Connecting them with over $12 million in new capital. That's over $1 million a month. And we also are all about supporting jobs. So we supported over 2,000 jobs and 20 startups. So, like I said, we love what we do, and we think we do a pretty good job of it.
So we talked a little bit about the aspiring Tucson business owner, but existing business owners probably feel most of them probably feel there's always something new to learn, Sue, and they could use a tune-up with their business. Are you willing to sit down with these people as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, from startups, we work with a lot of scaling businesses and even businesses that are making decisions about pivoting or maybe even selling. So we definitely will sit down with whatever stage the business owner is in or the business owners are in. And I just want to put a little quick shout out. We've got other community partners that are fabulous, you know, SCORE Southern Arizona, Startup Tucson. We've got the Arizona Commerce Authority, City of Tucson, and many, many others. So there are so many resources out there for existing businesses that are trying to figure out what to do, especially with the economic situation that we're in.
This situation with hiring is really, whether it's Pima County government, the City of Tucson, or just your local neighborhood business, chances are, Sue Oliver, there will be a sign now hiring. How are business owners kind of attacking this problem?
That's a really great question. One of the ways that we work with our clients to tackle this situation is to be really clear on what their value proposition as an employer is, because, you know, employers are competing for talent. So making sure that they're looking at the not just the physical environment or the job itself, but kind of what benefits and what is their value proposition vis-a-vis their competitors. So definitely working with them in that area. And also getting really clear on the talent. What are the required attributes or qualifications of that particular individual? And what are the things that are maybe things that they can learn or grow into? But just really getting much more discerning, particularly with small businesses that, you know, may not have a lot of experience in hiring and retaining talent. There are subject matter experts out there, certainly HR consultants that we work with that will come in and review benefit programs and hiring practices as well. And certainly Pima Community College has got a lot of resources to work with businesses as well in terms of training programs and even apprenticeship programs for the businesses in the community.
All right. Before we let you go, Sue Oliver, Director of the Small Business Development Center at Pima Community College, what advice would you have for our listeners, some ways that they can help our local businesses?
Well, I would say shop local, shop local, shop local, even if it may cost a little more, because the small businesses are literally the cultural, the economic, the social fabric of our community. We all love and have our favorite small businesses. So shop local, go to small business events and activities, and celebrate the local small business stories when you see them in social media. Spread the great news however you can, because we've got a fabulous community, fabulous small businesses, and we want to make sure that they're around for a long time.
All right. Sue Oliver, the Small Business Development Center Director. And again, Sue, people, if they didn't get that exact website, you could probably Google Small Business Development at Pima Community College and it would get you there, correct?
Yes, it sure would, Bill. You can, you know, all roads point to us here in Tucson if you type in Small Business Development and Pima Community College.
Is there also a link at your main website, pima.edu?
Yes, yes.
Great. Sue Oliver, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much, Sue Oliver at Pima Community College. And again, their main website, probably this would be the easiest one to get you there, pima.edu. Sue was talking about supporting fine local businesses. Well, one of them that we support here on the program is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Open today. They had Easter off and then Monday as well. Well-deserved for Steve and the team. They are back and raring to go. With a new week, they are open right now for a delicious lunch. They open for breakfast 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Saturday, Sunday, 7 o'clock in the morning. My advice, get there early for the best selection from the bakery case. And again, their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Coming up next on the Live Line from Berlin, Germany, Shelley Fishman. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman, on the live line reporting from Berlin, Germany. Shelley's been over there now for one full week. Shelley, how are you? How's the trip going?
The trip's going great, Bill. Weather's improved somewhat. We're a little warmer now, and the rain has stopped, so all of that is good. And the more I explore Berlin, the more interesting and fascinating a city it becomes. It's just, you know, it doesn't strike you like Paris does or like Rome does. It's, you know, this is the most gorgeous place in the world. But you know, as you get into it and you see the architecture and you go to the museums and you just watch and talk to the people on the street, it's just a fascinating place.
We're doing pretty well today on the market. The unemployment report came out last week.
Right.
Are we indicating that, in fact, we have an inevitable decline and recession on the horizon, Shelley Fishman?
Not at all. In fact, the IMF and the World Bank are meeting in, as it turns out, in Washington, D.C. today, and they issued a statement in which they caution that there's a possibility for some of the economies in the world to experience either a slowdown or negative growth in the second half of this year. There is nothing in the U.S. economy, despite what you hear from, you know, people who would get some joy out of that. There's nothing in the U.S. economy to indicate that we're not going to have some kind of soft landing. The job growth announcements last week were just right in line with what was being forecast. The 236,000 jobs created in March was about 100,000 below the six-month average. The six-month average was 334,000, which means that the recovery from the recession that was caused, you know, for the most part by the pandemic is just about over now, and we're getting back to normal numbers. We'll probably have very close to 2% growth for this year, though the IMF is saying something lower than that. The real trouble in the developed world is in Germany, right here where I am right now, in the UK. And you know, the UK is still suffering from its self-inflicted wound of Brexit. And its economy has been a mess for the past year and will continue to be a mess for a while. And Germany has had one of the strongest economies in the galaxy last year. And so it's inevitable that it has to slow down, given the increase in interest rates, partly to control inflation and partly to keep up with what our Fed is doing. They just need to keep raising interest rates in line with the Fed. Otherwise, the value of their currencies vis-a-vis the U.S. dollar goes to heck.
Shelley, I want to ask you about the sentiment. You've been over there now for a full week in Berlin. What is the sentiment that you're hearing about, reading about in German newspapers about the Ukraine and continued support for that country?
Well, that's a great question, Bill. Let me give you a visual example of what support, at least here in Germany or at least in Berlin, is for Ukraine. Every embassy flying their flag out front is also that you would expect, certainly not the Russian embassy, but every embassy in a NATO or a European European Union member country is also flying on par with their country's flags, the Ukrainian flag.
Mm.
If you take a look at Museum Island, which is the island where some of Berlin's most cherished collections of art and history are. And there's, I can't tell you how many splendid Baroque buildings they are. They're all flying the Ukrainian flag from their rooftops, along with the German flag, and in some cases, instead of the German flag. So it's impossible to think that at least in this country, there is not total support for Ukraine.
You mentioned fine, splendid Baroque architecture. Perhaps our listeners, when they think of Berlin, they certainly remember the pictures of the completely burned out city. Did some of that Baroque, wonderful Baroque architecture, obviously it survived, right?
Well, survived. Very often it survived after being very badly damaged. And somehow, and I can't explain economically how this may have happened, but somehow the Germans have rebuilt it all.
Mm.
And where they couldn't rebuild it, they built replacements that were equally splendid. Now, I was here 30 years ago. I haven't been here in 30 years. And 30 years ago, it was the one-year anniversary of the reunification of Germany. So everything was under construction. All the telecommunications was under construction. All the highways were under construction. This was, after all, the middle of East Germany. But I can tell you that East Berlin, or what was East Berlin, was the cultural center of Berlin. And it was all under Soviet hands. And it is now all rebuilt. And it is rebuilt in ways that you scratch your head and go, where was the damage? Now, these old buildings are, in some cases 200 years old or so, and they look 200 years old because they were rebuilt in a way that is artistically sensitive to their histories and the history of the Second World War. But there they are, and they're there in ways that you just scratch your head and you can't believe it. You can't believe where the money may have come from. In fact, I scratch my head and go, wait, did we build this with a Marshall Plan?
Well, I want to get back to the economy, and we've closed out our first quarter. What are you thinking about, Shelley, for the United States now in the second quarter?
I'm thinking that we're going to continue on the path that we're on. That for the past 2 years now, we've had acceptable levels of growth. The markets are voting with their dollars. The market today is higher than it was at the beginning of the year. It's down from its, mid-February highs, but we look to be having probably a pretty good year, unless something unexpected happens. There are headwinds that are slowing the economy down, but they don't appear to be slowing down the enthusiasm that investors have for this economy. And economists will give you forecasts, and they base those forecasts on history. Investors give you forecasts based upon their view of the future. My propensity, Bill, as an optimist and also as an investment analyzer, is to think that the investors got it right this time, and we're going to have a pretty good year.
Well, I certainly hope so, but there is one thing, and we talked about it briefly last week. You had just arrived in Germany, and this whole thing about kicking the can down the road with the whole world is watching, and you know where I'm going with this, Shelley Fishman, and that's this whole debt situation. It's lingering. It's the other shoe that we're waiting, hopefully won't drop, but it's there.
Well, and I have a lot of faith in the economy and a lot of faith in the investment community. I don't necessarily have faith in our politicians, especially with what's been going on over the past couple of years. So you're absolutely right. I am scared to death that we will do something utterly stupid with the debt ceiling in the belief or hope that one side or the other will blink. And if neither one of them blinks, we could literally cause a worldwide recession. So you don't hear too much about that here. At least I haven't heard much on the news, haven't read anything in the papers about it. There was a report, I think, that came out today on U.S. faith, young people's faith, that Social Security and Medicare will be there for them. And almost two-thirds of young people don't think it's even going to be there. So this idea that somehow there's an unsettled feeling in our politics and that the direction we've taken for the past 60, 70, 80, 100 years is not certain anymore is very, very troubling. And we have to keep an eye on that, Bill. And you're absolutely right to ask about it.
All right. Just a few seconds left. You're 1 week into this European sojourn. Where are you? Where are you off to next, Shelley Fishman?
Well, we're headed down the Elbe River, and you know I should check about where I'm going to be on Tuesday, but it'll probably be on the river on a small cruise ship on our way down to Prague in the Czech Republic. So we'll still be in Germany. I hope I'll still have a good cell signal. The Germans are pretty good with their infrastructure. I hope to get a somewhat smaller city view of where you know the German economy and the European economy are going. You know, when you get out of the capital cities, sometimes you know people have very different views of things.
All right, Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you in a week from Europe. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. See you next week.
All right.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. Some people were off on yesterday, so it kind of feels like a Monday edition, but it is Tuesday, and it is a great time of year to go over to Green Things and think about getting some beautiful color in your garden. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. It's really a beautiful location. It's just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They've got 13 acres there, and not only do they have all of the gardening side of the business, but then there's the merchandise covered by Zocalo Village, beautiful things from Mexico, including Talavera pottery. Here are a couple of websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. They're in their 53rd year of business, and they are open daily. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now the District 1 Pima County Supervisor, the Democrat representing District 1, my district. Here he is, Supervisor Rex Scott. Supervisor, how are you?
Bill, doing really well and happy to be able to be in studio this month.
Yeah, we always prefer that you would be in studio, but you are a very busy guy. You've got all sorts of duties, and I do appreciate whenever you can coming into the studio. So did you have a joyous Easter?
Absolutely. I participated the day before Easter in the Sabino Canyon Sunset Run, which is sponsored by both Southern Arizona Roadrunners and the Friends of Sabino Canyon. And Friends of Sabino Canyon have some really ambitious facility plans to make to upgrade the facilities out at the canyon. So was happy to participate in that. And then my wife and I went to a brunch with some of our friends during the day. Both of our kids were busy. Our son lives out of state, and our daughter was doing stuff with her boyfriend.
Well, it sounds like with your run and then a beautiful brunch, you've had somewhat of a renewal, which which very much fits in with the Easter and Passover season. And last week on the show, we had a rabbi on, and we had our regular contributor, Father Robert from St. Philip's. But I neglected to point out and that Ramadan, the Muslim celebration, coincided with Easter and Passover. And someone pointed this out to me. That's the first time that's happened in 30 years. So to all of our Muslim friends, my congratulations on a wonderful Ramadan season as well. All right, the Spring Town Hall Series. This is your first chance, Rex Scott, to really get back into the community with your Town Hall Series because of the pandemic. Things like this just didn't happen.
Well, we actually did a series.
Oh, did you do one last year?
We did a series of town halls back in the fall.
Okay.
And that was our first series of town halls, and we're intending to do them every fall and spring. So we've already had two, one of them up in the Village of Catalina at the Catalina Community Center, the second one at the Oro Valley Library. Tomorrow we are doing one at Pima Community College's West Campus, and then we have one at the Dusenberry River Library later in the month, and then the final one at Sabino High School. And it's just wonderful to get out into the district and give people an overview of what county government provides them in terms of services and supports, and also hear their questions and concerns.
Katie Dusenberry, I believe, was the first woman elected to the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
She was back in 1976, and she represented District 1, and I was proud last month to introduce a resolution that named that meeting day Katie Dusenberry Day. And it was in alignment with Women's History Month because she was the first woman to serve on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. My colleague, Supervisor Bronson, was the first woman to chair the Board of Supervisors. And Supervisor Grijalva, another one of my colleagues, is the first Latina to serve on the Board of Supervisors.
Getting back to the town halls, is there one issue or two that you want to share with our listeners that have been emerging from these listening sessions?
Well, people always want to hear an overview of our road repair and maintenance program. Mm-hmm. The county is responsible for all of the roads within the unincorporated portions of the county, and most of District 1 is unincorporated, so we always get a lot of questions about that. If there are development or land use proposals that are pending before the Planning and Zoning Commission or the Board of Supervisors. Well, sometimes people get people coming in to want to ask those questions. When we were up in Catalina, there were certainly a lot of questions from residents of the village of Catalina having to do with some concerns they had with local flooding and whether or not we could intervene with ADOT about improvements they'd like to see on Oracle Road, which is, of course, the main thoroughfare through Catalina. It varies. We generally get anywhere from 20 to 50 people at the town halls, and it all depends on what's on people's minds when they walk through the door.
Well, one thing that's on people's minds is the Regional Transportation Authority, which will be the current program sunsetting in just a few years now. You do represent, you have the seat representing the Pima County Board of Supervisors on the 9-member RTA board. Please give us an update. I know there was a meeting just recently.
There was. Our last meeting was on March 25th. And we will meet again next month. One of the most important actions that we took at our March meeting was there was a unanimous vote of the board giving additional direction to PAG and RTA staff to provide some more information on all of the funding that comes into the region for transportation so that the Technical Management Committee, which is the committee of local transportation and governmental professionals that advises the Citizens Advisory Committee, could offer some more substantive direction to the Citizens Advisory Committee. We'd like them to get a draft plan to us by July 1st. They're feeling like they need more guidance and direction from the Technical Management Committee to finish their work. And so we unanimously passed a motion directing PAG and RTA staff to provide some more guidance and direction in terms of all the funding that comes into the region for transportation to the Technical Management Committee so that they could then follow up with the Citizens Action Committee. Those two groups really have, Bill, a symbiotic relationship. If one entity is feeling like they are bogged down in their work, then it's difficult for them to follow up with the other entity with the kind of technical guidance that that latter entity, the CAC, needs.
Things are going to get very intense because the clock is running. And by the way, the folks that don't know about PAG, Pima Association of Government, which is really, they have several, the Pima Association of Government and the Regional Transportation Authority, in many ways kind of under the same umbrella, right? It gets confusing for people.
They are. Yeah. The Regional Transportation Authority is a special taxing authority that was authorized by the Arizona legislature. And the Pima Association of Governments is the organization that oversees the RTA. The 9 members of the RTA board are also the 9 members of the Pima Association of Governments Regional Council. And the Pima Association of Governments staff is integral in terms of the support that they provide to not just the Regional Council and the board, but also to all of the committees and subcommittees underneath us.
So things are going to get intense, and the clock is running. You mentioned a July 1 proposed deadline from a technical group. I don't know if it's a hard deadline. It was a suggestion that they would like that information by July 1. Are we moving toward perhaps an election in the spring of next year?
Well,
is that too ambitious or what?
It was last spring that the RTA board directed the CAC, the Citizens Advisory Committee, to get a draft RTA Next plan to us for our review by July 1st. And what we are telling the Technical Management Committee is that the Citizens Advisory Committee is waiting for some more substantive direction from them. So that was why we passed the motion at our last month's meeting to get some more information and data on all of the funding that comes into the region for transportation so that the Technical Management Committee can follow up with the Citizens Advisory Committee. I think we would like to certainly have the RTA Next plan on the ballot sometime in 2024.
All right, let's take a break right here. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott with me in studio. Our conversation continues after we take a listen to some of the great Buckmaster Show sponsors. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We do our telephone interviews. The Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Spring has sprung over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive. Time to jump in the truck, the car, maybe even the motorcycle, and make a three-hour drive approximately east of Tucson. Take a left at Lordsburg and then head up the mountain to Silver City. Elevation, well, it's just like Denver, right around that mile-high elevation. Beautiful climate up there, great for outdoor activities. And some great places to dine and stay. Check it out. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org is their fine website. Rex Scott is with us, Democrat representing the first supervisorial district. I love saying that word, Rex Scott, on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Before we move on, and I've got a stack of stuff that I'd like to kind of cover with you before we let you go, back to the RTA, one of the stumbling blocks or roadblocks had been revolving around Tucson, City of Tucson's First Avenue project, which is part of the current RTA plan.
It is the plan that was passed by voters back in 2006. And there was a request by the city to change the scope of that plan from a what was intended in 2006 to be a six-lane project to a four-lane project. And the city did a significant amount of outreach to residents in the area and the surrounding area. Their outreach to businesses was especially robust. And there was a question on the part of PAG and RTA staff as to whether or not that we needed to go through another public outreach process aligned with their design corridor review requirements. Well, the board looked at what's called for under the administrative codes for the regional council and the RTA board, what's called for under state statute. We also thought about the likelihood of sincere confusion on the part of the public if we did another public outreach venture on the part on the heels of what the city had already done and likely come up with the same conclusions. And so the board voted to move forward with the reduction in scope from a six-lane to a four-lane project, because that was clearly the choice of the residents and businesses in the area. And we're glad that we're going to be able to move forward with this. One of the commitments that we need to demonstrate to the voters as we are getting ready to put a new RTA plan in front of them is that we can fulfill the current plan.
All projects will be completed.
And
that's
going to
be your message.
Yeah, absolutely. But with regard to the city's First Avenue project,
yeah,
there had been a lot of changes in terms of what was thought to be needed in 2006 and what is needed now. And the board voted to move forward with the reduction in scope. And we think that that was not only a good sign to the city, but also a good sign to voters across the county that we're going to take we're always going to be analytical and thoughtful about every RTA project.
What about this issue in the community? And it's a big issue of the fentanyl crisis, and it is a crisis. It's very, very prevalent in our community. How about our health leadership, Dr. Cullen and Dr. Garcia, who head up the Pima County Health Department? What are they saying to you, members of the supervisors, about this issue?
Well, we do a community health needs assessment on an annual basis, and we first identified substance misuse disorders as a real health issue 8 years ago. And the proposal that was presented to us by the county administrator, and we received some background on the necessity of this proposal from Drs. Garcia and Cullen, was that we want to put together a fentanyl opioid response team. This would be cross-departmental. It would involve a significant number of Pima County departments, perhaps even departments that you wouldn't think would be involved with an issue of this nature. It would also be interjurisdictional, because we need to be working with the other jurisdictions on in the area. And it would be developing appropriate responses to this crisis. And it really is a crisis, because over the four-year period, Bill, from 2019 to 2022, we had a total of 1,676 overdose deaths.
What period of time was that?
From 2019 to 2022.
Wow.
There were 1,676 total overdose deaths.
Mm.
Now, in the last year, 2022, that we have data on, we saw a reduction in teen overdoses by 60%. Also saw a reduction of 29% in the 20 to 29 age bracket. However, in the age bracket of 50 to 59, we saw a 40% increase in overdose deaths. And so the health department, through the leadership of not only Dr. Cullen, but her predecessor, Dr. England, had acquired four state and federal grants And those were focused on responses to the opioid crisis. They're overseen by a Board of Health subcommittee, which is looking at the appropriate community interventions to deal with this crisis. But we and there has been a community mental health and addiction staff and program in the health department since 2019. They can point to many achievements, and their efforts have helped us get a better sense of the path forward. But we really need this cross-departmental and interjurisdictional effort that the fentanyl opioid response team will give us. And so we were getting a briefing on that. We also used the first allotment of our funds from the opioid settlement. Those are funds that were given to local jurisdictions and the state from the companies that were involved in furthering the opioid addiction crisis. And Pima County is getting a substantial amount of money out of that settlement. We're using $180,000 from that settlement to purchase 6,000 units of Narcan nasal spray. And Narcan nasal spray is used to provide relief to someone who is going through an
overdose. Yes. They're overdosing. Will that save a life?
Yes, it will. Absolutely. And we have a substantial need for additional units of Narcan nasal spray in the region, not only because of the spike in fentanyl deaths, but also because there's been an increase in seizures of fentanyl and other opioids by law enforcement locally and also at the ports of entry on the international border. So that may point to even more of those substances coming into our community. So it's prudent to have these additional 6,000 units of Narcan nasal spray.
We began our show today with Sue Oliver at the Small Business Center at Pima Community College Development Center. And Sue is discussing with us this crisis, and it is a crisis. There just are not enough people to fill all of the jobs in Pima County. So, I mean, on one hand, it's great that there are so many job openings, but even Pima County is struggling in so many departments where one out of three people are you've got vacant desks. It's a big crisis. You've got to find a way to hire people.
It is. Our vacancy rate is certainly not where we want it to be, and we are always looking for ways to make Pima County more of an employer of choice. I appreciated that Ms. Oliver mentioned what she did in the first segment of her show, because we are getting ready to look at the second draft, if you will, of the county's economic development strategy. The board had some suggestions for revisions that we made when it was brought to us the first time last month, and we're going to be considering those revisions at our next meeting. And we just heard yesterday that our small business commission, the board has a small business commission of 10 members. Each of the supervisors appoints two people to this small business commission. And those 10 appointees of ours on the small business commission voted unanimously to encourage the board of supervisors to approve the new economic development strategy.
All right, Rex Scott, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to see you. We'll look forward to your visit with us in May. Thanks,
I'm looking
Rex.
Forward to it as well, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, on behalf of Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott and John Engineering and producing our show, we hope everybody has a real nice afternoon, a great evening, and we'll be back with you in about 23 hours. Coming up next, the very popular show, The Dave Ramsey Show, talking about your money. Have a great afternoon, everybody.